Hello, and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell on you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell on you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this time, and please be with this message and help it to this testimony to reach hearts and minds and lives, and help other people be set free the same way as I was. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oops. This is my testimony, as I said in prayer. The title of this message is 14 Years of False Convert. You might say, what's a false convert? Someone who thinks they are on their way to heaven. They are trusting something other than Jesus Christ and him alone to get them into heaven. Perhaps they're trusting church attendance or baptism or good works or one of these to get them into heaven. Well, that will not get you into heaven. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And may have even said a sinner's prayer or made a profession of faith. Yes, there are people who said sinner's prayer and are still not saved and still not on their way to heaven. How do I know this? Because I was one of them. This was me. I said a prayer and was trusting the prayer instead of Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. All these people, including myself, were deceived, thinking they're going to heaven, and in fact, they're still lost and still on their way to hell, still on their way to the lake of fire. You may ask, well, what is a true convert then? Well, I will address this later after I give my full testimony message. Again, I was born in a Christian family. Christian parents, Christian grandparents. Was a church, raised in science school, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, all that good stuff. And I was still, I was oblivious to everything, though. About 4 years old, a family member asked me, would you like to accept Jesus in your heart? Now, what four-year-old is going to say no to that? What four-year-old kid who's been raised in church for his whole life so far is going to say no to that? It's like, that sounds good, whatever. So I said yes. I had no knowledge of sin, no understanding of my guilt and sin before a holy God, and therefore no salvation. Turn to Romans 7, verse 8. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. There was a period in my life. I was alive outside of the law. Oblivious to it. As I was just a kid. I continue on after saying this sinner's prayer, quote-unquote, totally oblivious to sin, salvation, and my real need. And yet being pat on the back and convinced by others that I was okay. I didn't think about where I'd go when I would die. But what young child really truly thinks about that? I had a few brushes with people who I knew who died, helped me to see what was going on, but it didn't really register. And a classmate in my class from when I was about 6 years old, can't remember which grade, I think it was kindergarten. He was in a wheelchair or some kind of ventilator or something that kept him alive, because I was in a special needs class at the time. And apparently, in the middle of the night, his machine died on him, and he died with it. And I was just, my only reaction, I was just mad at the machine for dying on him. I wasn't really, well, wait, where do I go on there? Where did he go when he died? And at about age 7, my great-grandma died. And I just remember kids being wild banshees running around the funeral home, totally oblivious to, well, this is a serious, somber thing, so. So no real concern through the time of my life about where I would go when I would die. Still staying in church and being oblivious to everything else. But then, I got a wake-up call. When I was 15, my aunt died at the young age of 40. This was sudden to me, as I didn't know much about her health issues. I didn't know she was in and out of the hospital. And it shocked me to the core. I was kind of depressed for a while. Not for her. But I was just totally overwhelmed myself, and didn't help it. I was going into high school at the time, and starting high school was a big lifestyle change just in itself. And it's forced me to start thinking and questioning my own eternity. I thought I was okay. I wanted to be okay. I was told I was okay. I'd been told that I was okay. But I had no assurance of salvation. Say right here, lack of assurance itself doesn't mean essentially lack of salvation. But in hindsight, for me, I was not saved at this moment. But everyone told me I was, and I was okay. I was concerned. I was concerned about hell. I was concerned about where I would spend eternity. But at this point, I was not really concerned about sin and wanting to get right. I prayed multiple repeat after me sinner's prayers throughout this period. Still not saved. The prayer itself is not what saves you. My heart was not right. I did not want to get right of God. I just wanted to go to heaven. And because of this, I would not provide canned sinner's prayers. 1, 2, 3 repeat after me formulas that people think, oh, I repeat these magic words and I'm right with God, I'm going to heaven. Sorry, that's not how it works. It was a matter of godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. We read here in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but a sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow is a sorrow sorry for your sin and truly repented of it. That leads to repentance and salvation, and not to repent of. Worldly sorrow is sorry that you're going to be punished, and that just leads to death. That leads to punishment, leads to eternal death. It's sorry versus you did wrong and you're going to be punished versus, sorry that you did wrong and versus sorry that you got caught. Sorry that you're going to get punished versus sorry that you're in the wrong. And also, during the time period, I considered getting baptized, still thinking I was saved, but I just couldn't, something in me just wouldn't let me. Obviously, I was not saved and not biblically ready for baptism. Eventually, I did come to a point where I did become conscious of my sin and was conscious that I was a sinner, had enough exposure to right and wrong, exposure to the law of God through church, through home, and everything to realize that I was a sinner. However, I was still confused that I was, and still thought that was okay because of the prayer I said years prior and accepting Jesus in my heart at a young age. But I became concerned about my sins. Okay, if I'm okay with God, why am I in the sin? I became battling the sin. I was fighting the sin. But I was fighting it in the flesh. And it was a losing battle. Romans 8:7. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, or is not subject to the law of God, neither of thee can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I wasn't saved. I did not have the Spirit of God. I was unable to mortify the deeds of the body. I was unable to overcome my own sin. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Well, I didn't have the Spirit. Couldn't mortify the deeds of the body. Could not live. Even though I thought I was okay. But I was not okay. I was a false convert. At one point, I even gave up in despair and defeat. I could not fight sin. I could not beat sin. So I just decided to give up. But I just couldn't. I just kept fighting even though it was a losing battle. And then shortly before my actual salvation, only a few months apparently, approximately October of 2000, I had a shocking dream where I was in an elevator. The elevator was going down and hell was at the bottom. Those two shocked me to my core, but I still just tried to write it off. I was like, well, okay, this is just a bad dream. Maybe I ate something the night before or something. But it was still shocking. Didn't know what to do with it. And I was still just generally in misery this whole time. Fighting sin. Scared. Didn't know who to talk to. Because I was told I was okay. Okay, if I'm okay, then why am I feeling all this? But then the Lord stepped in. On January 2nd of 2001, my senior year of high school, 18 years old, the Lord spoke into my ear and simply said, that sin you've been dealing with, Jesus can take it for you. He did not confuse me with telling me I was not saved or anything like that, because that would have confused me. He just gave me all I needed to know. And that night, I prayed and asked Jesus to take away my sins, and I got saved for real. And for the first time in my life, I felt real change and felt real peace with God. I felt the ability to overcome sin. At age 4, I became a false convert. At age 18, I got saved for real. 14 years of being a false convert. But now I was free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now I had that witness in me, that I was the Son of God, the child of God. I also now felt ready for baptism and was baptized a few weeks later. In conclusion, let the law lead you to Christ. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You do not need a Savior until you realize that you're a sinner. If you're questioning, let the law show you that you're a sinner. Let the law show you that you are lost. You cannot be really saved until you realize that you're hopelessly and desperately lost. This is what happened to me. I was raised in a Christian home. Despite becoming a false convert, I also was exposed to law, which showed me that I was a sinner, which showed me that I was lost, which ultimately led me to finding the Savior in Jesus Christ. If you need help, start with the Ten Commandments. I'll go through a few here. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you put anything or anyone above the Lord your God? This is called idolatry. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Have you stolen anything? Even if super tiny and seemingly not important. This is called theft. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number nine. This is called lying. Number 10. Thou shalt not covet. You ever wanted anything that wasn't yours, even if small or this is called greed or covetousness. Be honest, how many of these are you guilty of? I know I'm guilty of all of them. Next, let Jesus take your sin burden. Like me, you can't overcome sin yourself. You need Jesus. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 6:11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus makes us dead to sin. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus takes away sin. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus frees from sin. He frees from the law of sin. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus saves you from your sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll become a true convert. acknowledge that you're a sinner. John chapter 1, starting in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Come to the Lord with a contrite heart. This means that your heart, your state of your heart and your mind is, you're crushed and you're broken, you're sorry for your sins. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, save us such that be of a contrite spirit. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things he hath mine heart made, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things which have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and tremble at my word. You know, reverence and respect and tremble at God's word that you have broken. God's word that you previously ignored and despised and broken. Psalms 51:16-17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, elsewhere would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is David's prayer of repentance after he sinned with Bathsheba. I recommend reading the entirety of Psalm 51. This clearly shows David with a contrite heart, truly sorry, truly repentant for what he had done. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God will come and dwell for you when you are broken and contrite, as it says in Psalm 91. God will dwell with you, you will make him his, your habitation. Repent of your sins. You mean to be sorry and repentant and sincere about your sin, not just wanting to escape hell. You gotta want to turn and get away from your sins. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of oppression shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Ask him to save you. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in him, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to Christ, die to yourself, trust him to take your sins and punishment for them, come a living sacrifice for him. Don't be living in godly sorrow, being sorry that you are going to be punished, but instead, don't be living in worldly sorrow, sorrow that you're going to be punished, but instead live in godly sorrow. Come to him and be refreshed. Let him take your sins away. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in some prayer. Don't trust in what someone else told you. So you're okay. Make sure you know for sure between you and God that you are okay. And gain that peace with God. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at the email address. And may God be with you and lead you to him.